Masechet Nazir, Daf Nun Gimel. The Mishnah mentioned the list of types of tum'ah that would cause a Nazir to have to shave, become tumat met, that he would shave and have to start all over again. More or less, that list is the same as types of tumat met that cause tent impurity. However, the two categories are not exactly the same, and today we're going to see some of the differences between them. Okay, the first one is a quarter kav of bones, or as opposed to half a kav of bones. A quarter kav of bones causes tent impurity, but does not, if a nazir goes under in that tent, does not have to shave until it's a half of a kav of bones. Only then would that cause tent impurity, such that a nazir that is under it would have to shave. All right, so that is one of the differences. And so we're going to see actually a couple of other opinions that says, no, it's all a quarter or only a half or all of the things. But right now, this is the basic assumption. And we start off with a question. Rami Bar Chama says, I know you're talking about regular bones just from any other part of the body. And that's where you say that if it's only a half a kav, it does cause tent impurity, but that will not bother a nazir. He doesn't have to restart. Is that true? That's true for regular bones. But what about if it's bones from the spine and the skull? Because we saw that the spine and the skull have an elevated status. They cause tumah more than other bones. And so maybe just a half of a kav of shidra and gulgolit, a quarter kav, would cause tent impurity. That makes a nazir restart. So that's the question. Or are these bones the same as all other bones, and Nazir does not shave until you get to half of a kav? Okay, that's Tanan Bar Chama's question. Right, so the question is, what is explaining the question, when we say that half of a kav, that's the Mishnah said, half of a kav that is necessary for a nazir to shave, is that only regarding other bones of the body? But a spine and a skull, they are more stringent, and they're, for them, even a quarter kav? Or should we say, no, there's no difference, and doesn't matter what bone, even spine bones, you need a half of a kav for a nazir to shave? Okay, let's try out an answer. Amarava tashema hashidra v'hagulgolet. So Rava says, I have a simple answer. Look at the Mishnah itself. The Mishnah said, if you have a spine and a skull, we already discussed if it talks about spine and skull or spine or skull. But the point is, it seems to be assuming that you would have a full spine or a full skull. Now, if you thought that a quarter kav of bones from the spine or the skull would be enough to cause a nazir to shave, then the Mishnah should have said a quarter kav of a spine or a skull, right? Because a quarter kav is less than the whole thing, and so it should have said that. Instead, the Mishnah doesn't say a quarter kav, so we should assume that it means an entire spine or an entire skull. That's one category. And then it also says a half a kav of anything else. Right, but so if this was in fact a stringency, then instead you don't have to bother saying a whole skull or a whole spine. You should have said a quarter, and that would show that this is more stringent than the others. Since the Mishnah doesn't say that, it means that these pieces of spine, that would also have to be a half a kav to make a nazir shave. So that's Rava's proof from the Mishnah, which is a reasonable proof. But then we wonder about this, that Rava himself is one making it, because Rava said an opposite statement. Rava, in a different statement, said that was wondering, why does the Mishnah have to say Shidra and Gulgolet? After all, wouldn't Shidra and Gulgolet would be a significant amount and add up to enough just by the amount of bones to cause impurity? So Rava said, oh, no, this is talking about a case where the spine or the skull has less than a quarter kav. So that if it's very small, maybe from a fetus, that would go and it's whole, a whole spine, that would cause impurity, tent impurity, that would make a nazir have to shave. So from this statement of Rava, we can see that since this is talking about for less than for a rova asamot, that would mean that according to Rava, if it has a quarter kav of asamot of spine and skull, that does cause tum'ah that would affect a nazir. And so this is the opposite of what he just said. So how could Rava himself derive from the Mishnah that, well, since it doesn't say a quarter kav, that means a quarter kav is okay for a nazir? Whereas here, he was wondering why you need to say shidran golgolet at all. And he said, oh, when it doesn't have a rova kav, which sounds like, and if it did have a rova kav, even if it was not full, then that would also cause impurity. So Rava is saying opposite things. And the answer is he changed his mind. He learned something from Rabbi Akiva. It's not clear what Rabbi Akiva said. You can look at this note over here for different options. But he learned from Rabbi Akiva that in fact a spine or a skull that that has a quarter kav would be tameh. And so once he heard from that, he changed his mind. So the statement that he set up here was his original statement when he thought that, since the Mishnah doesn't say it, so therefore it must be that the hef kav is a threshold for all types of bones. But then after he heard a statement of Rabbi Akiva saying that even a quarter kav would make spine bones would make someone tameh, and nazir tameh have to shave. So he changed his mind and he found a different way to interpret the Mishnah, that this, it singles out shidran gulgolet for if they're whole, even if it's less than a rova asamot, or if they're not pieces, then it will be rova asamot. And so in the end, we can interpret the Mishnah both ways. Rava himself interpreted it a different way because he changed his mind, and therefore we're left without a proof. So we'll try another proof. Tashema Shamai Omer, Ayasem Echad Min HaShidra, O Min HaGulgolet. If you remember from yesterday, we had a statement of Shamai. Shamai HaZaken himself was ultra machmir, and he said even one bone from the spine or from the skull will cause tum'at met. Just one bone, even just a piece. Even though he is an extreme view, we would usually assume that the counterpart, who opposes Shammai, usually is not going to be that far away. Usually when there's a machloket bin chachamim, you know, they're pretty close together, right? This is actually an important point because although on every page, all over the place, we see machloket, the truth is that most of the machlokot throughout Shas are relatively close to each other, right? There's more agreement on everything else. We like to focus on the points of controversy. So assuming that the point of controversy is relatively small, and Shammai said even one bone, so probably the rest of the sages would say a quarter kav would be sufficient to make a nazir shave. And so from that we can learn quarter kav. But then we say, no, not necessarily. Shane Shammai de Machmir Tefeh. Shane Shammai is different because he is very stringent, unusually stringent. You know, even by any rabbinic standards, he's all the way on one side, and therefore you can't assume that his counterparts are nearby. His counterparts might be actually very far away, and so it could very well be that that everyone else says a half a kav, and he says even one piece of a bone. All right, so now that we know that, let's turn it around. Velifshot mina, just like we did yesterday. Oh, so let's learn that very point, that since Shammai is so far away, we can assume that this counterpoint was on the other opposite extreme and said half a kav, and that's what we, so we can have an answer for everyone else. It means half a kav and not a quarter, right? Tama de Shammai de Machmir, hal Rabbanan adika chatzi kav atzamot. Shammai was being one extreme, but Rabbanan must be the other extreme, and they would say half a kav. Can we learn that way? And we say, no, also not necessarily. Maybe the rabbis only disagree to about Shammai in the fact that he said one bone. Shammai said just one bone, but maybe they don't say the opposite extreme, but they would agree that if it was a quarter kav of skull or spine bones, then that would cause a nazir to have to shave. And so in the end, this is left unresolved. Okay, on the same topic, now we're going to see actually two other opinions, and then we'll see a third one, which is the assumption we were just saying now. All right, the two other opinions are going to be that a quarter kav is the measurement for everything, or a half a kav is the measurement for everything, and then we're going to come to the compromise, which is what we were assuming before, that a quarter is for regular tumat met, and a half a kav is for a nazir to shave. אמר רבי אליעזר, זקנים הראשונים, מקצתנו אומרים חסי קו עצמות וחסי לוג דם לכל. רוב העצמות ורביעי דם לא לכל. So among the elders, or from the early times, some of them said a half a kav of bones and a half a log of dam, that applies to matmet in all cases, meaning by touching it, by carrying it, or for tumat met. And rova atzamot and revitam lo lakol, whereas a quarter kav does not cause tumah for everyone. So according to this, for a nazir, that would be a half a kav, for regular tent impurity, for all matters, it will have to be half a kav, and a quarter kav does not make tent impurity. A quarter kav would still be touching contact and carrying. So yes, a quarter kav would be sufficient for that, but it would not cause tent impurity for any purposes, for anyone. All right. Which means that, you know, let's say a Kohen was walking under a tent and they had only a quarter kav or less, so that Kohen would not become Tameh and could eat Terumah. Okay, that's the one opinion that's the most lenient. However, the other group of elders from the early sages said, no, the quarter kav is the amount for all matters. A quarter kav causes tent impurity, causes impurity in all ways, contact, carrying, and tent impurity for all people, including a nazir. This is the most stringent extreme. Okay, so that's the two extremes, half for everything or a core for everything. And bet din shelacharem amru, hatsi kav atzamot v'chasi log dam lakol, rov atzamot urbit dam litrumah v'kodashim, aval lo lenazir ve'oseh pesach. Then a later bet din had a compromised position and said, the half of a kav of bones or a half of a log of blood, that will cause all types of impurity, including tent impurity, in all matters, right? Well, once you have half, that's everyone agrees that will cause tent impurity for everything. But a quarter kav of bones and order only a quarter log of dam, that will cause tent impurity with regard to tiruma and kodashim, so that anyone that walks under such a tent cannot have tiruma and cannot eat sacrificial meat because they're tameh. But it would not cause tent impurity for a nazir or for something making Pesach. So this Pesach is a new thing that we have now and actually gives us a good insight into the reason why you would make a distinction. The reason is, for Pesach, is that Pesach is an obligation. And if you're obligated to make Korban Pesach and you don't, you get karet. So we only want to make the guy tameh if he's for sure, without any doubt, a tameh. So if it's half a log or more, for sure he's tameh by going in that tent. And sorry, you can't do Korban Pesach. Come back a month later, do Pesach Sheni. But if it's only a quarter, then, you know, there's room to wiggle and say, well, we shouldn't make him tameh. It's kind of like it's a lesser stringency or a doubt. And so we don't want to make him tameh because he's going to miss out on Pesach, and that's karet. So you know what? Forget it, right? He's okay as long as it's less than a half. A nazir is the same thing, because if you say a nazir is tameh lamet, he has to go and bring korbanot, including korban hatat, which he can only bring if he definitely became tameh. And so we want to be sure that he's totally tameh, and so that would be a half or above. But for only a quarter, we would not, for only a quarter log, a quarter kav of bones, we're not going to be stringent on the nazir. So if we're going to the Mant Kodeshim, be stringent. There's no downside to being stringent. So even a quarter makes them tameh. But for nazir and Pesach, there is a downside for being stringent. So for them, we're going to use the higher amount of the half a kav, and for a quarter kav, that still would make them tameh lamet for touching and carrying, but not for tent impurity. All right, so now we had two extreme opinions, but then we had the Bet Din that decided between them a compromise position, which sounds like is very nice. But we question this compromise. Mikdi en hachraat shilishit machraat. Wait a second, you can't make a decision of a third opinion be a decision between the two. In other words, you can't just make a compromise position. This reminds me, for example, of, you know, when a chutznik goes to Israel for a holiday. So some people say keep one day. Some people say 2 days. Okay, so those are two lanes, right? There's opinions that say this way and that way. But then there's some people that said compromise, 1.5 days, right? And then you look at this. That's not a thing. That's not a category, 1.5 days. That's not a compromise, right? That's pick one or the other. The compromise is nobody's opinion. There is no old tradition. I know some people actually do say that. I'm just giving you an example. So here also, right, if you have a tradition of elders that says either a quarter, another one says a half, and now you're making an amalgamation, but the amalgamation is like just driving on two halves of a lane, right? That is not, you're not following any opinion. So that's not, it's not really a compromise. So how could you just make up a new amalgamation that doesn't follow any tradition, right? Better to pick just one or the other. So the answer is Amar Rabbi Yaakov bar Idi mipi Shemoa Meru mipi Chagai Zechariah Malachi. Actually, this compromise position is not a new idea that the Bet Din is saying, okay, we'll agree with these for a lof some and the other opinion for some. Actually, that middle position itself has a tradition that goes back to Chagai, Zechariah, Umalachi, and therefore they weren't following. It wasn't actually a compromise. It was a third, different opinion that they were following. Question here you could have is: wait a second. I thought we lo b'shamayim hi. You can't decide halacha based on nivi'im, right? Even a bat kol can't come and tell you what the halacha is. The answer to that could be that although Chagai Zechariah said it, it's really mepi hashemua. They said it not as prophets, but rather they passed down an oral tradition we have in their name, so it's as good as any other oral tradition, and that's what the Bet Din relied on to give this middle position, not a compromise between the other two. It's an authentic, independent middle position, and that's the position that we were assuming this the whole time from the beginning of the discussion. Okay, next, al elu hanazir megaleach. In the Mishnah, it started off and ended with a summary and said the following are the types of tumah for which a nazir will shave, and then it ends also with a summary statement. So this intro and summary statement, what is it coming to add? We answer al elu deresha lemeuta ayasim kaseora dal magaov amasao in veal ahilo la. So al elu is a limiting word. All these and only these on the list, and that excludes. So the first one is going to exclude a piece of a bone that is just as small as a barley grain. If it's that small, then it will cause tumat met if someone touches it or carries it, but it will not cause tumat met by tent impurity. And so we want to exclude that, and the nazir would not shave for that. It also doesn't cause tent impurity. Whereas al elu on the sefa, that comes to limit lemeute eben hasechuchit, if you have an overhanging stone, some kind of stone that is overhanging over a corpse, Or equivalently, if it was some branches from a tree that is overhanging over a corpse and a nazir walks under it, while in general, that could cause tent impurity, but we're not going to be stringent on a nazir, and the nazir would not have to shave and bring korbanot on account of that overhang. And so that's what we learned from the second summary statement. Now back to the list of items in the Mishnah, we mentioned vechatzi kav asamot. A half of a kav of asamot will cause tent impurity and make a nazir have to shave for that. So we ask, chatzi kav asamot in rov asamot la hechidame ile madit behon asamot kisora tepukle mishum asem kiseora. So we infer from this a half a kav of asamot, yes, but a quarter a kav of asamot would not make a nazir have to shave. Well, what exactly is the case? If there is a bone that's a se'ora size, a barley size, then if a nazir touches it or carries it, then they would be tameh. And so we can learn this law from the fact that there's a bone in it. The nazir would become tameh, and so based on this chatzi kav, it sounds like only chatzi kav, but less than that would not be. But if it's if there's an actual bone in there, even a small size, that would cause tumat met for a nazir. Rather, it must be that the bones were crushed into like flour. Were ground down, and so there is no one single bone that is even the size of a barley. Each of the pieces are less than a barley grain, and that's why any of the pieces alone will not cause impurity. But if you have a whole bulk of them, that's a chatzi kav or more, then we consider it as if it's a whole bone, and that would cause tumat met. We now come to the next and final piece of the Mishnah that we're going to analyze for today. Al eber min hamet val eber min hachai sheyesh alehem basar karaui. If there is a limb from either a dead body or from a live body, detached, and that limb has sufficient flesh on it, karaui. What does karaui mean? Fitting amount. It means that amount that it could regenerate if it were attached to a live body. So if a person has a live person has a limb and he gets a flesh wound, even a deep flesh wound, if there's enough flesh that it can regenerate and it would heal, then that's what we're talking about. That's sufficient flesh. If it's less than that, then it's insufficient. Okay, so if you have a limb like that, but it's now detached, if it has that amount of flesh or more, then that will cause tent impurity, that and the nazir will become tameh and have to shave. If it has less than that amount of flesh, then it will not cause tent impurity. Okay, now we ask, en alehem basar karaui mai. Okay, I understand that if it has less than that amount of flesh, it will not cause tent impurity, but what about other types of impurity of touching it or carrying it? Now, we're going to clarify in a moment, well, what about the bone, right? A bone by itself would cause tumat met. So the Gemara is going to explain, we're talking about a case where the bone is so tight, no bone, or this a very tiny amount of a bone, less than the barley grain. So forget about the bone, we're just talking about the flesh and the fact that it came from a limb. So if there is sufficient flesh there that it could regenerate, then it would cause all types of tumah. But what if there's not sufficient flesh? Would it cause any tumah? So Rabbi Yochanan amar ena nazir megalech alehen. Rabbi Yochanan said no tumah in that case. Resh Lakish amar nazir megalech alehen. Resh Lakish says yes. If the nazir touches or carries it, then it will cause tumat met that the nazir will have to shave because of it. Rabbi Yochanan says no, it does not cause tumah sufficient that a nazir will have to shave because of it. All right, so that's the two opinions. Now, Rabbi Yochanan amar ena nazir megalech alehen dakatani beresha al eber min hamet val eber min hachai vechule sheyeshan kazait basar in aval ena lehem la. Rabbi Yochanan says, I'm going to go with a simple reading of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says a nazir does not. Rabbi Yochanan says a nazir will not have to shave because of this amount of smaller amount of flesh, because it says in our Mishnah is called, the whole Mishnah is called the Resha. As opposed to the Sefa, which is the next Mishnah coming up. So in our Mishnah, it says, Ever Minachai Met, or Ever Minachai, that has a sufficient amount of flesh, then he has to shave. So only if it has that amount of flesh, the Nazir has to shave. But if it doesn't have that much, then he does not need to shave. No matter whether it was by tent or by touching or by carrying, Nazir does not have to shave in any case. And that's just what it says. Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish Omer Megaleach Midelakatani Besefa. The next Mishnah, which is calling a Sefa, is going to list cases where a Nazir does not have to shave. And it doesn't list it there. It doesn't say in that case, a limb that has insufficient flesh. Doesn't mention it there. So if it would cause any type of Tum'ah, then it should have been listed in the next Mishnah. For the fact that it's not listed in the next Mishnah means that it does cause Tum'ah. And our Mishnah says, if there's sufficient flesh, it causes all types of Tum'ah, even tent impurity. If there's insufficient flesh, it would still cause Tum'ah by touching it. Because if it would not have, if you say it doesn't cause Tum'ah, if it doesn't cause enough Tum'ah to make a Nazir shave, then the next Mishnah should have mentioned it in the not category. So it's not in that category. Therefore, it must be that even if it doesn't have enough sufficient flesh, it does cause enough impurity for a Nazir to have to shave. That's the Bishimon's argument. Okay, back to Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan malach, kol echad mashma mikel alah, lakatani besefa. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, I don't have to put it in the next Mishnah in the Sefa. Anything that I can learn based on the rule in the first Mishnah, I don't have to put in the Sefa. Everything in the Sefa is telling me some chidush that I could not have learned from the list in this in the current Mishnah. And that's why this Mishnah said, if it has sufficient flesh, then it will cause all types of Tum'ah. And therefore, and Nazir will have to shave for all those types. And we can infer from that if it's less than sufficient flesh, a Nazir would not have to shave for any type of Tum'ah. And I can learn that from the Resha. I don't need to mention it in the Sefa because I could learn already figure it out from the rule. Okay, now we're going to challenge Rabbi Yochanan. Hold on. Hold on. In the Resha, in the our Mishnah, it mentioned a half of a kav of bones. And we could infer on our own from that only a half of a kav of atzamot will cause tum'ah for a Nazir, but a quarter kav would not make a Nazir have to shave. And so I could figure that out from the Resha. And yet, go look in the next Mishnah, it's coming soon, and the Sefa, it says Rova Atzamot. So we see that the Sefa does include even things that I could figure out from the Resha. So what are you going to say about that, Rabbi Yochanan? And I'll answer, Hatami lav roba asamot hav amina, afilo magaova masa ola. Lachi yistirich mitne roba asamot, ala hilan hu de'en ha-nazir megaleach. No, over there, I do need to say that, because if you didn't say, tell me about roba asamot in the next Mishnah, I would have thought that, from our Mishnah, that even touching it and carrying it is when one a Nazir would not have to shave. In other words, if our Mishnah said Chatzi Kav Asamot, and that's it, I would say that a Nazir has to shave for Chatzi Kav Asamot, but for a quarter Kav, no, nothing. No, he never has to shave, not even for touching. That would have been, which is the inference that we're making now. So, therefore, in the Sefa has to say, Rova Atzamot, that he doesn't. That's only for tent impurity, the Nazir would not have to shave. But, that's why he doesn't have to shave. But, if he touched it or carried it, then he would have to shave. So that's why it has to be mentioned in the Sefa to tell me about that case. So that's why it says it in that case, where in our case, it doesn't mention it at all. Because this amount of flesh, according to Rabbi Yochanan, he says it does not. No, I can't. It doesn't mention anything in the Sefa, and therefore, since I have only the Resha, I'm going to learn the rule from the Resha. The Resha says only if there's sufficient flesh. If there's not sufficient flesh, then a Nazir does not have to shave on it, no matter what. Not even if he touches it. Okay, so that answers that. One more similar question to Rabbi Yochanan. V'hai chasi logdam. Deshamat mina chasi logdam. dam in urbit dam lo vekatani besefar ribit dam. In the resha it says that half a log of dam would make a nazir shave, and so we can infer from that only if it's a half a log, but a quarter log he would not have to. Yet look in the next mishnah and it says there a quarter log he doesn't have to. So why do you have to mention that if in the sefa, if according to Yudbil Chanan anything you can learn from the resha you don't have to mention in the sefa? And the answer is Hatam Lapuke Mid Rabbi Akiva, Dama Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Idam, Abba Mishne Metim, Mitame, Be Ohel. No, the Sefa there, we need to expressly say that Rabbi Idam, he does not, Nazir does not shave, because we want to exclude the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. For Rabbi Akiva said, Rabbi Idam, some versions skip the next three words. So skip that for now. Rabbi Itam mitameh be'ohel. Rabbi Akiva said a quarter kav does cause tent impurity. We want to make sure that you know that that's not true. So therefore, the next Mishnah is going to put in Rabbi Itam to emphasize that halacha is not like Rabbi Akiva. A quarter cup does not cause a tempir. Even though I could have learned it from the Resha, but we don't want to just learn it from inference, because then you might say, wait, maybe Rabbi Akiva is saying, don't learn that inference. So we say it explicitly so that we know that we don't follow Rabbi Akiva. That completes the challenges against Rabbi Yochanan, and now we have a clarification about the case that we're talking about. Hi, Eved min hamet, hechi dameh. How could this case of the limb from a body, what is exactly the case? If there is a bone part as attached to it, and the bone is at least the size of a grain of a barley grain, then what would be the reason of Rabbi Yochanan to say that it does not cause impurity that at all that would make a nazir have to shave? After all, if a nazir touches a piece of a bone that size, they would have to shave. So Rabbi Yochanan wouldn't make sense. And if there's no bone at all that size, smaller than a barley grain, then what would be the reasoning of Resh Lakish to say that someone, a nazir who touches it, does have to shave? And the answer is Amalach Resh Lakish Lolam Delet Be Ayesem Kisorav Afilu Hachi Rachamanad Abiyeh. Resh Lakish says, in fact, I could say it's talking about a case where there's no bone at all, or it touched a tiny piece of a bone, and nevertheless, the Torah does come to include that also causes tumat met, sufficient that the nazir would have to shave on it. So yes, nazir would certainly have to shave. Everyone would agree if there's a small piece of a bone. Even if there's not a small piece of a bone, well, that's easy for Rabbi Yochanan to explain. No, there's no piece of a bone there at all, and there's just flesh, but the flesh is insufficient. So that's what Rabbi Yochanan says. Nazir does not have to shave in any case like that, but Resh Lakish would say, I'll agree, no tent impurity, that the Nazir would have to shave for, but there is touching and carrying impurity that would cause a Nazir to shave, and we're going to learn that from a Pasuk, and the Pasuk we'll see in the following Beraita, the Beraita is long and will take us well into the next daf, so we'll see that Beraita tomorrow. Baruch Adonai L'olam, Amen v'Amen.